Hi, this is Evan Center of Center Counseling back for another teen tidbit. Today, it's the end of the school year, and I've been thinking a lot about testing and grades lately. And I bet you've been thinking about that too. And if your teen is in AP classes, they've already taken a few finals perhaps, and a couple of AP exams, which is actually kind of nice, I have to say. The relief I've been seeing from those kids is palpable. They feel like they've got a jump on the end of the school year. It's pretty cool to see. It's a nice kind of intrinsic reward, by the way, for all the work they've put into that course. So I've also been observing some interesting correlations between low or high confidence and output of effort, and how kids are talking about their results. One teen told me a couple weeks ago that she felt really unprepared and thought she was going to totally bomb the exam. And because of her lack of confidence, she studied really hard and surprised me and probably herself the following week, coming in and saying that she thought she actually did pretty well. But where's the line between having low enough confidence to push hard and study hard and just giving up? I think part of the answer is in how students look at the process and how the adults around them look at the process as well. Several articles and studies over the last few years have highlighted how counterproductive certain types of praise can be, while other types lead to increased motivation, healthier self-esteem, and higher achievement. So a quick word on self-esteem. I thought Dr. Brazelton put it really well, and I'm just going to read you a short paragraph of his. So he says, "Self-esteem does not refer to an inflated view of oneself. Instead, it is the capacity to hold on to a basically hopeful view of oneself while facing and integrating experiences that challenge this view. The development of healthy self-esteem in a child allows her to confront her mistakes without taking apart her positive feelings about herself so that she can mobilize these positive feelings, confidence, faith, and potential to find the courage to learn from and overcome her mistakes. The result is not a skewed view of oneself, but a realistic one in which both strengths and weaknesses can be acknowledged and accepted." And I feel like that's something that we've talked about a bunch with you guys in the past, and I've recorded some teen tidbits about it as well, but I think it's just really important to think about what kind of self-esteem do we want to nurture in our kids? And of course, what do we want our kids to feel good about? We want our kids to feel good about themselves, but we want them to feel good about themselves in a way that's useful, right? We want self-esteem that doesn't make them have trouble interacting with other people because they're so haughty, or doesn't create conflict with other people that they want to connect with, but allows them to pick themselves up off the floor when they fall down. So I'm going to cover a couple of different kinds of praise, because I think in general praise is thought of as a really good thing, and in general it is. We should be saying positive things to our kids. We should be catching them doing well. And I think that's sometimes a really hard thing. We take for granted when our kids are doing well, and we don't necessarily always say something. And we definitely say something if they're messing up. So maybe that's point number one. Catch your kids doing well. Notice it. But there's a catch here. There are more and less productive ways of catching our kids doing well and commenting on what we're seeing. And I'm going to share a couple of options through explaining productive and unproductive praise now. The first contrast for you is between person praise and effort-based praise. So in a nutshell, that's to say that person praise is to say, "Honey, you are so smart," versus effort-based praise, which is to say, "You put a lot of effort into studying last night. I noticed that you were really focused and working hard." And so those two things are really about the same thing. You know, maybe the next day they come home and they're like, "Hey mom, I got a 96 on my math test." And your response is either, "Honey, you're so smart," which perhaps your child is, and it's not a bad thing, and you can say that, but focusing on their effort is what's going to help them get through the next time when they don't get a 96. And it's going to help them study hard for the next time. So thinking about catching them exerting effort. And even if you don't actually see the effort, if they come home with that 96 on their math test, say, "Man, what did you do to get a 96? You must have studied really hard." Catch them putting in effort. Catch what they're doing well. So the next two kinds of praise, or the praise contrast that I want to talk to you about, is a sort of variation on that one. And it's, again, the effort praise versus the outcome praise. So before it was personal praise versus effort praise. You're so smart versus you put in a lot of effort. And the next one is you put in a lot of effort versus you got a really great grade on that exam. So the effort praise example is you really thought about how you wanted that project to turn out versus this is a great looking project. And again, praise is not a bad thing in general. You definitely want to be catching your kids doing well, catching them doing the right thing, catching them working hard, catching them having great outcomes. And it's okay to notice those things, but as much as you can as a parent, think about emphasizing the effort. And this really goes back to that piece of what kind of adult do you want to create? What kind of adult are we building here in these adolescent years? Most parents that I talk to are saying, "I want a kid who works really hard, and when they mess up, they're accountable for it, and they step up and they try again, or they make things right." And all that is about effort. It's not about outcome. I think a lot of professions are very outcome-focused. If you're a doctor, you're probably looking for a lot of measurable outcomes. If you're a financial advisor, also measurable outcomes. And I think that's probably part of why we all get caught in the trap of looking at measurable outcomes, looking at the grade point average, looking at the test score. But step one, before you get those grades, there's effort and resiliency, so that one day they can step up and produce great results in their careers. And when they fall down, when they have a bad day at the office, when their portfolio tanks, when a patient doesn't get better, they're able to pick themselves up off the ground and keep working at it. And to be totally honest, I certainly fall into this trap too. I also ask kids, "How did it go?" And usually they'll give me a number or a grade. So they're in that mindset as well. I think we all are. It's a cultural thing a little bit. And we obviously have to have measurable outcomes, but we also really want to create kids that are working hard and feel good about themselves. So here's what happens. When you focus on effort, and when kids start focusing on effort as well, they're more likely to keep trying, even if their initial outcomes are not great. Even if they fail, they'll try again. And they won't feel as ashamed or as bad about it or about themselves as if they'd been praised for being smart or exceptional. And that's one of the other things that those studies are showing us again and again, is that the feelings of shame come up when a kid thinks, "Oh man, I'm really smart. Everybody says I'm really smart. And I just bombed that test. What is wrong with me?" And if the focus is on effort, then they say, "Well, I tried really hard and it didn't turn out well." Or they say, "Well, I actually didn't really study for that one, so I guess I'll study harder next time." You know it's not a personal failure in that case. It's a failure in effort or a failure in behavior. And that's something that any of us can live with, more so than we can live with feeling like we ourselves are a bad person. So that's today's teen tidbit. If you've got questions, you can post them as a comment. Or if you have topics you'd like me to speak on in future podcasts, let me know, and I'll incorporate your ideas into future episodes. Thanks for listening. This is Evan Center of Center Counseling, supporting exceptional teens, parents, and families.